We've been talking about being the voice, being a voice for God. Matthew 5th chapter, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, Jesus wanted his followers to understand, he wanted you and I to understand, that the world's watching. The world's watching. Everything that we say, everything that we do, it's being evaluated. In other words, people are watching you, and what they see, they're either going to be drawn toward a relationship with God or they're going to be repelled away from ever wanting a relationship with God. Jesus, his last words before he ascended into heaven, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he articulated to the disciples what they were to focus on. And he was very clear. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's known as the Great Commission. It clarifies the mission of the church. It is to evangelize and discipleship. Those are the two calls of the church. And it's how we measure our success. It's how Faith Fellowship measures its success. See, I'm not really worried about what this church is doing or that church. I don't even get terribly jazzed up when people are talking about the church. And they'll go, oh, really creative over there. Nice casual atmosphere, or great music, they're full of energy, or even once in a while people say, people are just so nice there. And that's fine and good, but I really want to know how we're doing when it comes to the Great Commission, because that's what matters. That's what's going to matter in eternity. Reaching people for Jesus Christ, reaching people that are far from God, that are trying to bring them into a relationship with God, not just a relationship, but really helping people in a growing relationship so that they develop, so that they become a fired up follower of Jesus Christ, that they mature. Why? So they can reach people for God. Why does that matter? Well, people matter. And we've talked a lot about that. Eternity is in the balance. That's why it matters. And there is something that really concerns me. I think it's the greatest danger that we face as Christians. And that is that our spirit sleeps. That we get this personal drift going on. And suddenly we kind of take our faith for granted. We lose heart. We lose passion. And pretty soon we start basing all of our decisions from a place that's not so good. Like, we make our decision, we go, well, what do I get out of it? You know, what's in it for me? What do I want to do? Say, me. Do you follow that? And I believe when we start making our decisions on what's good for me, I think it's really easy to forget that people matter. We forget that leading people into a growing relationship with God is not just the church's mission. That is our mission as a church. But it's your mission. You are the voice. I am the voice. You know, you are the voice. This church is the voice. I am the voice. And that's why this is the very last thing that Jesus talked to his followers about. Because he wanted them to remember what was the most important thing. Now, I asked this early in the series, but do lost people matter to you as much as they matter to God? Because Christ calls us to put people in that high of a priority. We've said we got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to take risks, you know, risks that cause us to get up out of our seat and walk across the room, walk across the office, maybe the campus where you're going to school, or just walk across the street to a neighbor and connect. Connect with people. Connect and develop relationships with people. Again, why? Because they matter. You know, watch for those spiritual doors where we can open them just a little bit and share your faith. And we talked about how to share your faith, that we've made it so complicated. And it's really, this is me before I met Christ. I met Jesus. I got God in my life. And this is me now. The kind of the before and after. We all have that story to tell. Some of you have the spiritual gift of evangelism. You are geared in such a way that helping people take faith steps, it comes really easy for you because God designed you that way. You're really comfortable helping people take those steps. You've continued through the years probably to sharpen that leadership skill in that area. And you could take someone from, hey, I don't know anything about God, you could take them through every single step till they bow a knee and give themselves to Jesus Christ. Some of you could do that. The vast majority of you need help with that. You need to be a part of a team. You need encouragement. You need someone to help you find resources once in a while. And I say that because this church is tailored to that kind of a strategy, a team strategy. That's why we do things the way we do them here. It's why Sunday morning is the way that it is, because it's seeker-sensitive. In other words, casual dress, you know, comfortable environment. It's not a mistake. The type of music that we have, the use of drama and the arts and technology, the way we talk about God's Word. You know, we do it, we talk about topics that are relevant to people. We talk in ways that are, it's understandable. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or if you've never been to church. It's all geared to reach people. Now, I believe one of the biggest delusions in the church is, you know, we've got this great service and we've got great music and everything's kind of working. And here's the illusion. People will just show up. People will hear about it and they'll just be drawn to church, kind of a Field of Dreams kind of idea. How many of you remember the movie Field of Dreams? All right. It's kind of a classic now, isn't it? And it's basically this guy that he's told to build a baseball field out in the middle of nowhere. And throughout the movie, there's a little motto, you might say, and it goes, if you build it, what? They will come. Made for a really cool line in a movie. But friends, I got to tell you, that is not a good line for the church. People that are far from God, people that are trying to figure out where God fits in their life, rarely stumble through the doors of the church. The vast majority of people that are trying to figure out where God fits in, they don't wake up Sunday morning and go, I'd sure like to learn something about God. I think I'll drive around town and see if there's somewhere where I could do that. It doesn't happen. That's not how people most of the time end up at church. Now, the already committed, they might stumble through the door that way. They might be new to the area. Maybe their jobs have relocated them here. Or maybe they're unhappy with their church, so they're out checking other churches out. Or maybe something happened in their life spiritually to kind of ignite them. And they're like, oh, I need to reconnect with the church, get plugged back in. They might get up on a Sunday morning and drive and say, okay, let's see where the wheels take us today. But that seldom even happens with the already convinced. So why do people come to church? I mean, what brings them here the first time? Well, friends, I can tell you it's not because of a marketing campaign. It's not because of a mass media deal. It's not a bunch of slick ads or brochures. I mean, those things all have their place, okay? But almost always, when I talk to that individual that comes through the door, almost always, somewhere along the line, whether it was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, sometimes it was several years ago, that person will say, somebody invited me. See, invitation-based faith. It was true in Jesus' day, and it's even more true today. The invitation is core. Now, the book of John, if you study the Gospels, you find from the very onset, it's how the church moved forward. Andrew, he hears Jesus teaching one day, and it turns his life upside down. I mean, it rocks him. And because of that, he did what is so natural when your life is changed. His heart started beating different. Scripture says the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew, immediately, when he realized what Jesus had done in his life, he goes and he finds his brother. And he brings his brother to the place where Jesus is. You read on and you find out that Philip, apparently, was at that same meeting with Andrew. And Jesus changed his world. And so after he meets Jesus, he does the same exact thing. Scripture says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. I want you to come to a place where you can learn and see Jesus, learn more about Jesus in your life. It's what believers have done for 2,000 years. Reaching people that are far from God, reaching people that don't even know that they need God in their life, people that are searching and bringing them to a place where they can hear about God, where they can hear about Jesus Christ. And friends, here's what I've figured out. When God's people do that, when they say, come and see, and people show up, it changes things. There's a nationwide poll I was looking at. George Barna did it a couple years ago. Said in that study, he figured out that 25% of Americans said that if someone would invite them, if a friend would invite them to church, that they would go. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because analytically, that fires something up in me. Because I am thinking, okay, if that's true, if 25% of Americans would go to church if they were invited, then I do the math real quick. And I go, okay, so there are 78 million people in this country that are one invitation away. One invitation away. One invitation away from possibly starting a spiritual journey. One invitation away from maybe, possibly, taking a step and given their life to Jesus Christ. One invitation away from a life-changing moment. Friends, when I think about that, it's staggering. My mind, I think, what a difference that would make in our country. You know, what a difference it would make in our communities. What a difference, ultimately, would it make in eternity? You know, eternity's in the balance. We've talked a lot about that. I was reading another study they did on a couple different denominations. And get this is just staggering. In those denominations, they found that there was one invite per year, per congregation. Okay? Did you hear what I said? I didn't say that there was one invite per person. No. One invite per congregation. In other words, only one person in each of those congregations in that denomination went to somebody that was outside the faith, that was lost, that wasn't a believer, that was trying to figure out where God fit in their life, and said, come and see, come and see. Now, it's no wonder that for those denominations, they've had three decades of just tail spinning. And in fact, I would argue that the faith is no longer vibrant. The passion, the concern for the most important thing that Jesus Christ told us we're to be about, that they've lost that. They've lost the mission focus one person at a time. And what's really sad is they're dying. And in fact, most experts believe that in the next decade, they possibly will be out of extinction. I mean, they'll just be gone. That doesn't bother me. But it does when I think about the individual. And I think, where's our faith? We've forgotten the mission. We've forgotten the mission. We've forgotten what's at stake. We've forgotten what we've been called to. As Christians, we've been called to be the voice. That's why we've spent so much time with this. And what I want to do is just give us some principles that I believe are vital to us being people that learn how to invite. And I told you we were going to get painfully detailed with things. But I believe if you take these things and kind of download them, that you will increase your effectiveness when it comes to inviting other people. And the first is never give up on someone. This is fundamental. It was fundamental to the spread of the gospel in the New Testament. There were people that the religious community had given up on, but not Jesus. The reason why the gospel spread so rapidly was that they just sowed seed everywhere. They didn't care where it fell. They just went everywhere telling people, whether it was a dishonest tax collector, a social outcast, people that were full-throttle sinners, you know, Samaritans and Gentiles, people that everybody had written off, they just sowed seed. They said, you know what, we're not going to say no for these folks. You know, everybody else may be convinced that they're going to say no to God, but we're not. And Jesus stepped up and people said yes. And it gets me to the point where I go, you know what, you never know. You never know. I remember several years ago, I was at a political luncheon, and I was sitting at a table. It was full, except there was one seat next to me that was empty. And about halfway through the meal, this guy comes strutting in, and I don't know how to say it. He's one of these guys that's like smooth, do you know what I mean? And annoying at the same time. But anyway, he comes rolling in, and he sits down, and he turns to the woman sitting on the other side of him. I was on this side. And he goes, hey, good looking. He goes, this must be my lucky day. What are you doing here? And so I spoke up real quick, and I go, well, nothing. I'm just here eating my lunch, you know. And everybody laughed, and he kind of looked at me. It was one of them moments, you know. I was like, okay, is he going to laugh or hit me, you know. But it got us talking. You know, we started talking. And there's some about when two guys get talking, almost immediately the thing comes up, hey, what do you do for a living? And so that got us talking about church. And so, like I said, he's talking loud enough that not only our table, other tables could hear him. And he goes, oh, I hate church. I hate church. He goes, I went a couple times when I was a little kid. He goes, that's awful, awful. I just don't like church. And so I'm thinking, okay. I said, well, that's really great that you don't like church, because I happen to pastor a church that doesn't like church. He goes, what? Yeah. I said, yeah, our whole church is geared for people that don't like church. Well, he found that kind of interesting. He started asking a lot of questions. And through the remainder of the lunch, I mean, he never came up for air. Found out he had several children. He was on his fourth marriage. We covered a lot of territory in a short amount of time. And so when we're finishing up, I thought, I'm going to invite him to church. So I invited him, gave him my card, and I walked away, and I figured I would never see him again. That's what I figured, okay? Next week, I stepped up to speak, and I looked down, front row. He's sitting there. He's giving me this. And so I was like... He started coming to church every week. And then he brought his wife, and then he brought his kids. And then he started playing hoops. And so that gave me an opportunity to just chit-chat with him and talk. I'd hang around afterwards, and he started sharing a little more, and he talked about his battle with alcoholism. Talked about his vocation. I mean, honestly, it was a nightmare. And his relationships? Train wreck. Huge train wreck. It was littered with broken promises, affairs, broken hearts. I mean, it was awful. One day he was sharing, he shared a lot of stuff with me. And after he'd finished, and we'd built a pretty good rapport at that point, I said, can I be honest with you? This is just my observation. But Mark, it looks like you're trying to fill a hole in your life. And I want to tell you, God's the only person that can fill that hole. And so I talked to him about the fact that Jesus Christ had died for him and that he could have a relationship because of that. And I talked about why he needed to do that and how to do that. And that night, after a basketball game, all sweaty, he just prayed and gave his life to Christ. His wife and kids, they came to faith over the next few months. But friends, here's what I want you to hear. When I first met Mark, in my mind, I'm thinking, no way, man. No way. I almost missed it. And what I want you to do is think about your world, because God has strategically placed you where you are. And is there anyone that is so far from God that you have already given up on them, or you're about to give up on them? Maybe it's a neighbor that just seems to hate the world, or maybe it's a coworker that gets on every nerve in your body. You know, maybe it's that person that's obnoxious or abusive. And you cannot imagine for a moment that they would say yes. Maybe it's your relative who makes fun of your faith. Maybe it's someone that is so immersed in the pattern of sin that you figure, why bother? Maybe it's a friend of a friend. You know, that's an atheist or an agnostic. Maybe they're just hostile toward God. My point is, don't give up on them. Do not give up on them. You never know when a crisis is going to hit, a hurt, a struggle will open a door. You never know when a heart might be softened. You never know what God can do and what God can do through you. Never say no for anyone. Why? Because you never know. You know, on occasion, I'll be talking to someone. I'll be out in the atrium. I'm talking to someone that comes here regularly. And they'll look across the atrium or see somebody in the parking lot, and they'll go, I know them. I've never seen them at church here before. I know them. I never dreamed that they would come to church. I've known them for years. I've worked with them for years. I never would have guessed. And I used to let that go and just go, oh, yeah, surprise, you know. And then I realized I was missing an opportunity. And you know, if you've ever said that to me, that I kind of push back now. And I go, did you ever invite them to church? Oh, you don't understand, man. You don't understand what they're like. And I'll usually say something like this. Maybe you didn't understand that they're searching. Maybe, perhaps, you didn't realize that they were waiting for someone to invite them. Friends, never give up on somebody. The other thing you've got to do is put yourself in their shoes. This is important because some of you have been in church for so long, you have forgotten what it's like to be a stranger. This can be intimidating. If people don't, they go, I don't know the rules. I don't know the customs. I don't know what to expect. I mean, what's going on over there? You know, maybe they got some skewed idea about what church is like. Maybe they had a bad experience in the past. You know, I've heard all kinds of things. You know, people coming to church for the first time, it's tough. It's tough. I've talked to people that have been visiting before, and they'll say, you know, it took everything for me to walk through the door. And then the service started. And I didn't stand when you were supposed to stand. And people let me know it. Ouch. How many of you have ever seen a bulletin that you needed a decoder ring to figure out what you're supposed to do? Seriously. I mean, I wish I could tell you I was never part of a church that did that, but I can't. The fact is, you put an asterisk, and that means stand up, you know. Put a plus sign, men only read this part, you know, minus sign, women only read that part. And I'm thinking, how could we have ever done that to people, really? So we just got rid of bulletins. We said, we'll have a worship guide. Talk to people that are intimidated about coming to church. And so they wait till the last minute, you know, they slide in, they scope out their seat, they find their seat, sit down, and then somebody comes over and goes, pardon me. You're sitting in my seat. This is the stuff that keeps me awake at night, okay? I know some of you are going, well, that's not a big deal. You've forgotten what it's like. You have forgotten what it's like. You've forgotten what it's like to be in their shoes. Friends, what I want to tell you, get in their shoes, not in their seat, all right? It's that simple. I was in L.A., this is several years ago. I was pastoring another church, and I was at a conference out in L.A., and I had quite a few of the staff with me. And so Sunday morning, we decided we would visit several churches. And so we made our way. We got to the second church that we were visiting. We were a little bit early, but we headed up the steps. We opened up the door to the atrium area, and we walked in. We were greeted. The greeters yelled at us. No kidding, no joke. We walked in, they go, what are you coming in that door for? Nobody uses that door. Everybody knows that door's not to be used. Go out and come in the other door. Now, I'm quickly assessing things. Now, the atrium is about half the size of the stage here. There were doors on all three sides. Nobody was coming in the doors, first of all. There wasn't a line outside. And all the doors came into the same space. So being the shy guy that I am, I said, you should be glad that anybody's coming through these doors. And we're already in here, so I think we'll just find a seat. And they're grumbling. I mean, they're grumbling to one another. And so I said, you know what, guys? If you don't want people coming through that door, I suggest you get a key and lock the door. Now, several of my staff, I mean, they were just mad. A couple of them were embarrassed. And most of them, I bet you could catch them this day and go, name the church, and they go, oh, let me tell you. They were just upset the entire morning. And here's what I was thinking. Inside, I thought, that's just sad. And I'm glad it happened to us. and not somebody that was searching, that had got up enough guts to take that first step. Put yourself in that person's shoes when you're inviting them. Let them know. Say, you know what, they're casual dress, so they know what to expect, you know? Let them know what time we start. Let them know how long a service normally is, you know, because in their mind, they don't know if we go an hour or 4 hours on Sunday morning. They just don't know. Offer to pick them up. Offer to meet them in the parking lot at a certain time. Meet them for breakfast or catch a cup of coffee. And if you do, just a little heads up, pick up the tab, all right? Those are all gestures that say, you know what, I want you to be comfortable. I want to make you really comfortable. You know, another thing when you're inviting people, put something in their hand. You know, give them, we got invite cards out at the information desk. You know, give them a worship guide. They're great reminders for people. Now, sometimes you invite someone and they go, hey, we're going to come. And they don't. That's okay. Sometimes they come and they don't come back. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Maybe it was bad timing. Maybe it wasn't God's time yet for them. And this is really important. When you see them the next time, do not treat them weird or strange or freaky. Just go, that's okay. You know, just want you to know we're here. And just keep the door open. Keep taking risks. Keep reaching out. Keep letting God use you. It's important. Remember, this is a process, all right? This isn't a one-time deal. In other words, you don't go, okay, I'm going to invite someone. Okay, done that. Mark it off my list. It doesn't work like that. It is a process. And it's also not one-dimensional, because we've been talking about it. It's about relationships. In other words, don't become the one-dimensional Christian. And this is how the one-dimensional Christian operates. They see so-and-so that they know needs God in their life. Want to come to church with me? 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 And that's all they ever say. Now, I will tell you, that would repel me. It would send me into craziness where I want to avoid you. There they are. I'm going to avoid them. And that's what happens. Don't do that. Don't be a one-dimensional Christian. This is about building relationships with people, letting them know that you genuinely care. And what happens as you're talking, as you're sharing with one another, maybe it's surface level stuff. Maybe it's talk about the NFL or, you know, that kind of cooler talk at work. It's just kind of surface stuff. But every once in a while, when you have a conversation with someone, you have it enough times, you start having a conversation that has some depth to it. And over time, as you're talking, as the opportunities present themselves, you make another invite. You just do it differently. Again, don't do it back to back to back to back to back to back. Look for that opportunity. Be creative about it. How you invite people, you know, what you invite them to. In other words, look for the various opportunities that come along. It's like we're starting a new series, Not a Fan, in the middle of October. You know, so you go to someone and go, you know what? I'm starting this new series, Not a Fan. I thought, I am really excited about it. I thought you might be interested in coming and checking it out. You know, maybe it's an invite to a church event, movie night. You know, everybody's getting together and eating, or it's a game night or a craft day, you know, mission project, going and serving together. Whatever, just find a way to connect. Because what happens, and I've seen it happen time and time again, somebody shows up, they show up to play hoops. They're not from the church. They start playing, and if I don't foul them too much, they go, they're not so weird. They're not so strange. And they get more comfortable being around people from the church. And then one day they go, you know what? I think I could come to church. I like these people. Again, it all rests on us to carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. It is something we've got to keep close to our hearts. Got to keep it there all the time. That's why we talk about being open to the Holy Spirit, watching for the Holy Spirit to prompt us, looking for those opportunities to reach other people. Lost people matter to God. And they matter to me. God, use me. Effective invites. I want to suggest that you need to pray about it. In fact, I believe every Christian that that should be part of your morning ritual when you start the day, to just pray and ask God. Say, you know what, God? Today's a new day. Use me. Use me. Help me to recognize all the opportunities that you're going to place in my life today. Opportunities to reach out to someone, the opportunities to share, to help someone take a faith step, an opportunity just to invite someone. They're all around us. And that invitation just might change someone's life. I want to challenge you to get specific about it. You know, I have had numerous conversations and received emails from folks, and they go, I just can't get so-and-so out of my mind. Put them in your prayers. A couple people, a couple families that God's put on your heart, pray for them every morning. Pray that God will use you to reach them. You know, pray for that empty chair that's sitting next to you, that they'll be sitting there someday. And then pray for that opportunity, just to invite. It's pretty easy. I believe if you start your day that way, it does a couple things. One, it's a reminder. It reminds you, I need to be paying attention. But I think even more important, it reminds us that God's involved in it. You know, God gets involved. I have said, when I work and I work hard. But when I pray, God works. It reminds me I'm a partner with God, with the creator of this universe, that I get to serve the world with God by my side. Paul writes this, he says, pray for us too, that God may open doors for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Friends, we can all pray that God uses us. We can all pray and look for those opportunities to tell our story, to invite someone. We can all do that. We can all do that. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth all the prayers? Is it worth all the energy, the effort, you know, the nervousness, the rejection, those awkward moments? Well, friends, I would tell you, all you got to do is look in the eyes of another person that's been changed by Jesus Christ. You know, a few weeks ago, baptism service. It's always a highlight every year when we gather and people are taking steps of faith. And I wish everyone had the perspective that I've got, that they could be right as close as I am to those individuals. Because I get a watch, and as they come up out of the water, there's just this emotion that's there, this explosion of joy. Because there's a heart change. There's a life that's changed in that moment. Scripture says that all heaven rejoices in that moment. So the person's rejoicing, heaven's rejoicing, but you know what else I figured out? There are people that are watching. They're kind of taking that moment in, and their heart's captured. Because in that moment, they are overcome with joy. You know why? Because God used them in some way to bring that person to that point. And in that moment, when they're coming up out of the water, if I could run over to that individual and just ask them, go, you know what? I understand that you invited them. to church. And I was just wondering, was it worth it? How do you think they'd respond? Well, probably they go, was it worth it? Seriously, are you asking me that? It absolutely was worth it. It was worth every prayer. It was worth every tear that I shed. It was worth every moment spiritually when we were having conversations, those awkward moments, those tough conversations that we had. I've asked people many times. In fact, I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, I'll come to church, and they didn't. You know, I've had people that I've just poured and poured and poured and nothing. I've been turned down a bunch of times. Yeah, I've been disappointed. But standing here today, seeing them give their life to Christ, there isn't anything like it. It's absolutely worth it. Absolutely. Friends, God can use you. All he needs is a willing heart. Live life wide open, you know, open to the Holy Spirit's prompting, open to the people around you, open to the opportunities where you just take a risk, and it's not much of a risk, really. And say, hey, come and see. Come and see. That simple invite could change someone's life. Could change eternity. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you freely gave your life for us. And God, I pray that that passion that we felt when we first gave our life to you, we wouldn't lose it. Don't let it fade. God, use us to reach people that so need you in their life. God, give us courage. Give us a sensitivity. Give us just a gentle way of sharing and reaching out. God, use us. Use us this week. Use us next week. Use us every day. We just give you the glory and the praise this day and every day. It's in Christ's holy name we pray.